This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Zeoli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Zeoli listener.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
How do we weigh the virus versus the economic harm that preparing for and fighting the virus can unleash on society? That is the question right now. As the president tweets, at the end of this 15-day period, we have to take a look at whether or not the cure is worse than the problem. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Zeoli Show on Twitter at Rich Zeoli and Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. But I'm very excited right now to welcome to the program. I've been reading a lot of his writings and his work. Amash Adalja is an infectious disease doctor working on pandemic policy, emerging infections, and preventing bioterror, a senior scholar at Johns Hopkins University. Dr. Adalja, welcome to Philadelphia.
Hi, thanks for having me, Matt. I was actually born in Philadelphia.
No kidding, really? How long did you live here?
Yeah, about 18 months.
Oh, nice. All right. Very good. Well, come back. Come back and see us. We're doing great. Well, not now. You can't come now. The entire city shut down. But eventually, when it reopens, come back and see us. All right.
I will.
And speaking of the shutdowns, that's the question I have for you right now is how do we balance all this? And you have pointed out that there is a real risk of doing long-term economic harm here with the way that we're approaching this pandemic.
Right. I think that when you have to do any kind of social distancing, especially shutdowns that are ordered by government, you have to really look at what the cost is and what the benefit is and not discount completely the cost, because not only are there economic costs, there are going to be long-term consequences. The longer you do this, the more disruption you're going to put into people's lives, the more stress you're going to put on their other medical conditions, and you have to be able to balance this appropriately. It's very important that people social distance and that we take care of this outbreak and that we use every tool at our hands. But is forced economic shutdowns, is that the right tool? Are we doing the right actions? And that's the question that I have, and I think it's a really hard question to answer, and I want people to make sure that they're thinking of the long-term consequences of these actions and not just having short-range thinking where they're really focused on one thing and forgetting about the bigger picture.
On Saturday, the New Jersey Department of Health commissioner said that she believes everyone is going to get this virus. Is that possible, that everyone could get it? I mean, I've never heard of a virus that 100% of the population could get before.
What we know is that this virus is facing a population that has no immunity to it. So that means it will be able to have the capacity to infect a large proportion of the population, probably over the span of about a year or so. And I do think it could reach to the majority of Americans. I don't know that it will reach 100%, but I clearly think it will go to the 50 to 60% range, just based on what we know about other novel viruses hitting the population.
So I guess then the obvious question is, the goal then of what we're doing right now in this flatten the curve is just so that we all don't get it at once and then overwhelm the healthcare system?
Right. That's the idea. The hospital system basically has a fixed capacity and has very little ability to augment quickly. And what we're worried about is the fact that although most cases are going to be mild, there are going to be some proportion that require hospitalization, that require intensive care units, that require to be placed on a mechanical ventilator. And we don't have that capacity. And that's what we're really worried about after seeing stories from Italy where hospitals in the northern part of the country were inundated and basically went into crisis mode. So what the goal of social distancing is to just decrease the clip at which those patients present to hospitals. But the thing about social distancing is that you have to do it for a long period of time to make it effective. And 15 days may not be enough. And at the end of that 15-day period, you may hear we have to do this for several more weeks or months because there's no vaccine. This virus isn't going anywhere. And the point I think needs to be made is we have to come up with a feasible plan to be able to go live our lives as well as handle this virus. And I think we may have to modify parts of our life, but I don't think that we need to shut down the economy, have everybody on have unemployment numbers skyrocket, have basically a depression induced in order to fight this virus. I think we can do both, but it has to be done in a smart way, and we have to take the right actions. And we started late with this virus, and now we're kind of left with this world. And I think there's still a way out of this. You just don't. You have to be very measured in what you're doing, and make sure that you're actually targeting the virus with the most effective tools without doing so much harm.
Dr. Adalja is an infectious disease doctor working on pandemic policy, emerging infections, preventing bioterrorism. Before I get to your 5 points that you laid out in a recent piece you published, Doctor, I want to ask you the consequences on our nation's psyche, on individual psyche, throughout what could be a major economic recession or depression, but also the self-isolation aspect of that. Somebody told me yesterday, a friend of mine called an old number for me, and a senior citizen answered. I guess she's got my old phone number. And she said that the call made her day because there's nobody visiting her. There's no one. She has no contact with anybody on the outside. I have a friend whose mom is in the hospital recovering from surgery. She can't have visitors right now. This has got to be very tough on people.
Definitely. Humans are social animals, and I think it becomes very difficult for some individuals to be able to cope without company, and it's maybe not a substitute to do it virtually or online, and people do want to be around other people, and it's sometimes going to have these negative consequences. And I do worry about what rates of mental illness and substance abuse will be based on this isolation that's occurring. So, you know, I think we have to try and especially cocoon our elderly and those that have high-risk conditions, but I'm not ignoring the fact that there's going to be a real psychological toll that places on certain individuals. And that's what I'm talking about when we think about these costs, that those have to be placed into the models as well, not just looking at the spread of the virus. You have to look at the other consequences, too, and come up with a balance.
So you've written that there are 5 things we should do, the first one being voluntary social distancing with cocooning. And why do you say voluntary versus the order of you must stay in your home and you must not go out and you must not do anything?
I don't believe that these shelter-in-place orders are applicable to this type of epidemic. And I think that what it does is it engenders panic. It increases panic buying. It increases just the whole this whole vicious cycle that we're having of people not being able to find toilet paper, people being scared, and then you have people scolding other people if they go outside. I don't think that type of thing works. And I don't believe in trying to draw distinctions between life-sustaining and non-life-sustaining businesses, which is what's going on in Pennsylvania. I think every business is life-sustaining for its owners, for its employees. And I think that kind of distinction isn't helpful. And I think it's not sustainable. And I think it's going to basically end up in sacrificing the lives of those people who are put out of work. And I don't think that's the right approach to do this. I do think that people need to be mindful of this virus being out there, very mindful about it, especially if you have high risk conditions, and try and limit your social contacts, try and modify your behaviors. But I don't think that, for example, the Pennsylvania State Police should charge you with a crime for making a living.
Hospital preparedness. You talk about that as well. We're in day 8 now of the 15 days the president said we have to slow the spread of this virus. Not a whole lot we can do. I mean, we can do some things in 8 days, obviously, but it seems like this is a longer term answer of hospital preparedness.
Yes, it's a longer term answer, but it didn't have to be because we've been talking about hospital preparedness at least since 2001 and the anthrax attacks. And this is something that now we're left with because people did not prepare. I do think that there are some quicker things that you could do. For example, some of the hospitals that have been recently closed, those could be used as alternative care sites. It doesn't take a lot to reopen them, especially as many patients may not need full hospital care. You can do the same thing with hotels or college dormitories that are empty. You could use those as alternative care sites if you needed them. So there are things like that can be done. You can start to, at the same time, think about long-term capacity issues in terms of building new hospitals or more ventilators, making sure that personal protective equipment, all that is in stock for healthcare workers to use. Some of that stuff is short-term, some of it is longer-term, but I think it all has to be done, and it's way overdue that it be done.
And you talk about diagnostics as well, Doctor, to allocate scarce medical resources. We need to dramatically do more testing across the country. I guess my question also becomes, what happens if you get a test, you're negative, you go out there into the population and then you pick it up again? Do you get tested again? How long does that happen? And could that be a problem in and of itself?
Well, we need to realize that there's going to come a time when people have respiratory symptoms and you just have to assume that it's the novel coronavirus because it's going to become prevalent enough that it's a high likelihood. And those individuals, if they have symptoms, even if they test negative or they're unable to get a test, need to self-isolate. They should not be exposing others to themselves, whether it's caused from the coronavirus or influenza. And I think we need to drill that into people because that's what's driving this, is mild cases going outside, doing things and infecting other people. So we need those people to stay home until their symptoms are gone and there's guidelines for how long they need to stay home. And I think people need to not rely on having a positive test result to change their behavior. They should act as if they have this, if they have any respiratory symptoms. What I talk about with testing is we need to understand this outbreak isn't going to hit the country as a whole in all 50 states at the same time. It's going to come in waves. There's going to be some cities affected more than others at different times. And I think we need to right-size that outbreak response. And while we have scarce resources like ventilators, and we have a stockpile with ventilators in them, you can feasibly think about moving them from one place to another or getting resources to where the outbreak is. And the only way we can do that is to know what's going on in the community. So we do need to be able to have some surveillance testing going on in communities around the country so we know which parts are hit especially hard, which parts are over their peak, which parts are coming up in.
And last question for you, Dr. Adalja. You talk about the right to try. I'm 100% with you on that, of course. People should have the right to try. And it seems like every day now we're hearing new stories of different drug combinations to treat COVID-19, and all that is outstanding.
Yeah, I do think it's important that doctors have the ability to prescribe certain drugs. They have expanded access to investigational antivirals like remdesivir. But I also want to caution that this isn't something that you should be experimenting with on your own and looking up things and doing. This needs to be done under medical supervision with a physician. And we still want randomized controlled trials. We want to know for sure that these things work. But I think these things can go in tandem where you have expanded access to some of these antivirals. At the same time, there are rigorous randomized controlled trials going on to make sure that what we're getting is safe and effective. So I think you have to have both for a robust response.
Dr. Amash Adalja, senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins University Center for Health Security. Doctor, I really appreciate your work on infectious diseases, pandemic policy, emerging infections, preventing bioterror. Thank you for coming on the show today, and stay safe and stay healthy, doctor.
Thank you.
All right. So actually, you know, as we look at this, this is the goal here, of course, obviously, is to balance all of this. And your thoughts on that, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210 is the number. For example, Texas has a balance like that. They're trying now to say stay home if you can versus ordering it from a statewide level. Although, honestly, in Texas, all their cities are run by Democrats. And within those cities, they're all ordering people to stay in their homes. But this is a public service announcement that was put out by actor Matthew McConaughey. I personally think stuff like this is great. You know, anytime you can get actors and other people like that, they reach a younger audience than politicians do. They just connect to people in a different way. Athletes, whoever. Just the more people that want to step up and do this kind of stuff, great. I think it's terrific. Cut number one.
Over 500,000 brave Texas hospital and EMS professionals are on the front line of the coronavirus, answering the call that requires them to leave their homes. You can answer the call, too, by staying home if you can. Staying home is safer. And it can help stop the spread of the virus, which gives them a better chance to come home too. Let's show the world how Texans take care of our own. If you can, stay home.
And by the way, the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, is allowing restaurants to do takeout and delivery orders for booze too, which I think is fantastic. I hope that happens for our area as well.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right. 855-839-1210 is the number for you to weigh in on all these different things today. Let's see. I should also mention, too, I was going to let Dawn know about this, that as part of my homeschooling today, I have suspended both students and they will be in their rooms.
No, I thought you were I thought Patrick fired you.
Did fire me. He did fire me. He fired me from homeschool. So I'm an out-of-work teacher right now.
Was he like, you know, Donald Trump used to be in The Apprentice? You fired, Daddy. Like, what?
You know, I think I'm going to have them film that video today.
Yes,
at homeschool.
You fired.
Yeah, and I'm going to make him do that. You're fired, Daddy. You're fired. Why not? So there'll be a substitute teacher today, my wife. I got to be honest with you. You know, we're in the window now of having a baby. I'm not looking forward to having to go to a hospital for this whole thing. You know, it's not like I want to have the baby in the bathtub either, but, there's a major conflict going on here.
Excuse me. You don't want to have the baby in a bathtub.
Okay. Well, let me rephrase.
Let's get Bridget to weigh in on this.
Have you guys decided what you're going to do? Like, you know,
that's a great question.
Well,
like, is there a plan?
To Dawn's point, it's really a question of what she wants to do. But I said the other day, I said, you know, I'm a little nervous about going to the hospital because there's sick people there. But then again, you know, it's Cooper and I know how well it's run and Dr. Maz is there and everything like that. So
I'm less... go in through a different entrance, right? You can go in through a different area if you want.
Yeah, we're going to go through the special COVID-19 entrance that they have in the back of the building. That's special entrance. What are you talking about? Special entrance? Special entrance? A VIP? What is this, a club?
Well, no.
Rope lines and...
I would rather walk in the front door of a hospital right now, the front entrance, as opposed to the ER. I'm just saying.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, you know yeah, yeah, I mean? I don't want to do the ER.
And that's any day of the week, even if it were not a pandemic.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Definitely. Yeah, good point. Exactly right. You don't want to do the ER. They told us to do the ER in birth class, but I mean, come on.
Don't do that.
Everybody's going to the ER now. The first time they cough, they're going to the ER. So it's going to be overrun. And that's a major problem with hospitals around the country right now is that a lot of people are going to the emergency room and they really shouldn't unless they really can't breathe or something like that. You know, they're saying, but people are going and they're overwhelming it.
Yes.
So
that's the problem.
That is the problem.
You know, you have to ask Greg and I about our opinion on this. So for me, I think that some of these orders weaponized me to say, look, you got to back off. Like I had a guy, I was working out in the yard and he stops for directions or something. And I'm like, look, I have a son with asthma. Got to back off. You know, so to me, I feel
how close was he? When
you
come on your property?
Start walking towards you. It's like, so I just kind of feel like there are so many just, ignoramuses for lack of a better word. And so I feel like, well, maybe if you weaponize it in the sense that you could be sued or call the cops or whatever, maybe people will finally get it.
Wow. Like back That's off. Harsh. Why didn't you just shoot him?
I'm going to carry around the Nerf super soaker, you know, like the huge squirt gun.
I'll do it too. Yeah. See, you don't need the government. You just need to have that's all. You'd be creative right there. Now I know Greg is not going to any stores or anything, right, Greg?
No, I know. We have everything
delivered,
brought to us that we leave outside on the porch for 24 hours.
24 hours.
Well,
the pizza on the porch for 24 hours.
We've stocked up. I mean, we're
stockers are stocked up.
We're good to go. Plus we have a food delivery service that comes to our house once a week. So we're good.
Perfect.
You know what I did the other night? We ordered a pizza and I sprayed the entire box with Lysol.
Yes. No,
because it can live on cardboard.
No, I didn't do that because I'm not insane.
Hours.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm going to destroy the pizza. The baby's going to come out with some sort of Lysol birth defect? No.
The box, not the box. Pizza, the box.
I'm going to take my chances that the pizzeria guy does not have COVID-19 and got it on the box. I'm going to take my chances. Yes.
Put a closed garbage bin out front to the side. When packages come, you go out there with gloves on.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You take the thing out of the pack, even if it's a piece, take it out. And then you bring in the house the item, whatever it is, whether it's a pizza or whatever, and you leave whatever packaging, you leave it outside in that trash bin.
See, I have this image in my mind from watching the movie Contagion of those long tongs that they use when they reach into the virus reservoir and pull out the virus. That's you with a pizza.
Totally.
It's not necessary.
100%.
The odds of you getting coronavirus from your pizza box from your local pizzeria, unless you're in the middle of an outbreak, come on.
Here's the thing. I know what it's like. I said this to Stalker this morning. I know what it's like to rush my child to the ER in the middle of the night, leave the minivan running, and run him in because he can't breathe. I know what that's like. He's in the high-risk group, so I'm not taking any chances.
Okay, all right, fair enough. So what if the virus is on the pizza itself?
It's not on the, it doesn't really live on the food. Plus, looked this up, if you digest it, it goes into your stomach like all that, the digestive juices kill it.
Oh, did you look that up on the internet?
I looked it up.
Is that what the internet says?
Dr. Google says.
Dr. Google says? No, oh, well, then we're fine then. We'll just throw stomach virus, stomach acid at it.
It cannot survive the GI tract. The issue is if it gets into your respiratory.
All right, so here's what you need to do as a nation. No more Prilosec or any other anti-acid medicines. Throw them out. Take your stomach acid and fight coronavirus with it.
Eat Corona, like Pac-Man.
Eat Corona.
We're gonna put stomach acid into like a proton pack and have the Ghostbusters just out there spray stomach acid everywhere.
Spraying it everywhere. Light it up, boys. Get that stomach acid out there. Now, Dawn orders a pizza, and then she takes the box and throws it out, throws the pizza out, and then has no food. That's basically your strategy.
Truthfully, we're not ordering pizza.
Of course not.
Just make your own pizza.
And I also don't believe you were doing yard work either. I have a hard time believing that.
I love yard work.
Okay. Inside yard work?
No. I love
virtual yard work.
It was 40 degrees yesterday.
Pulling weeds.
Okay.
Because everybody else in the family is highly allergic to like poison ivy and stuff, but I'm not. Yeah. God. So I'm the only one. I love yard work.
What a party at the Stensland house.
I know, right?
Now, here's another point, too, I want to make. We went to McDonald's through drive-thru. I know I was thinking about Dawn, too, the whole time going, she would not be happy with this. We did not spray the boxes or anything. I said, we got to live our life. We got to take a chance here. I just don't think that I'm going to get the coronavirus from a Happy Meal box.
You could
from the McDonald's in Morristown.
Wipe.
What's that?
Lysol wipe. Just wipe it down a little bit. Just wipe things down.
Respectfully, I'm glad we're all in separate places because I think you need to stay where you're at right now.
We're all in separate studios.
You think I'm going to get it? Because
100%. 100%.
Well, according to the New Jersey Health Commission, 100%, you're going to get it.
Everybody's going to get it.
We're all going to get it.
They don't mean all at once. They mean, this is going to become the next common cold or flu.
Yeah.
Yeah,
over time.
We don't
that's
even know.
Yeah, over time, but then we can deal with it over time better. That's the problem right now because it's novel and we can't deal with it yet.
But that's what they're talking about over time. They're not
that's
saying
that's what the guy just said. The doctor just said that. He said a lot of people are going to get it.
We might have already had it, quite frankly.
What are you doing?
I had it this morning. I kicked it before the show. That's how good my immune system is.
What are you doing? Were you just blowing it?
I was whistling.
Blowing in the wind?
Oh.
Like that, the sound of the tumbleweed going down the highway. I see some pictures out there. It does look a little bit like The Walking Dead or something, does it not?
Yeah, it's awful.
Right? You look at some of the empty cities, empty streets, empty highways. It is a little scary when you look at it that way.
The Schuylkill this morning was packed. I'm just saying.
With trucks, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's
those truckers are, God bless the truckers.
God
I'll tell you,
you
what. God
love,
bless them because
you.
They are keeping the supply chains moving. God bless the truckers, the manufacturing people, of course, the doctors. But there's so many people on the front lines
Medical
working here.
Professionals.
And these truck drivers, man, I'll tell you what. They are moving supplies. They are working shifts like you've never seen before. They are absolutely doing God's work out there because you got to move all this stuff. It's a complicated process. So I'm glad that they listened to us and opened up the rest stops for the truck drivers because that was insane that they were shutting them down.
That
absolutely
was.
Insane.
Imagine
you know?
Being on the road that long. And plus, it went in so quickly. So all of a sudden, they pull over. They can't pull over. There's no parking. And they can't go to a bathroom.
Yeah.
It's
that's
crazy.
It's so unbelievable. Yeah. I like the Italian approach to handling things. Greg, did I send you that? Cut of the...
You did. I mean,
It's all in Italian. But this is a series of mayors yelling at their constituents to stay inside their homes.
I didn't pull the whole thing because the guy at the very end curses a lot, and even though it's in Italian, I don't know if the FCC would still fine us for.
Come on, a G Pie is a buddy. He's not going to fine us.
No,
give me a break. Come on.
No. I mean, you.
Besides, I don't think they're working. I don't think they're essential right now, are they?
Listen, you get the full brunt of it, and we don't need the ending. I'm just saying that.
All right.
I didn't want to play it because it's they're literally cursing, and cursing is cursing in any language, right?
No, but all right. But go ahead. Here we go,
mi arrivano notizie che qualcuno vorrebbe preparare la festa di laurea. Mandiamo i carabinieri, ma li mandiamo con i lanciafiamme.
Che domani ti becco, domani! Non pensiate tra anni, domani! Sono il sindaco, sul mio territorio non si passeggia. Non vi posso impedire formalmente di uscire da casa?
This plays at the speakers at Dawn's house if anyone approaches the house.
Exactly.
Allora mi rivolgo a voi. Ma dove cazzo andate? Dove andate con questi cani che ci hanno la prostata infiammata?
E voi, non è previsto il ping pong. Non potete giocare a ping pong. Andiamo alla PlayStation. Siccome io sono il sindaco di questa città, in questa città il decreto lo faccio rispettare io.
Quindi, se andare, they just all yell at each other.
Non voglio le scuse.
They just yell at each other the whole time.
Dovete stare tutti a casa. Devi andare...
Get in your house. I'm going to call to the police, eh?
That's basically what
they're
saying.
Get inside. I'm going to call to the police. The Carabinieri, they're going to come, eh?
A casa.
A casa. Go to your house.
Yep.
La massa.
You're still not, eh? I love that. I just fantastic.
That's what
fantastic.
I want to play on a loudspeaker.
You play that on a loudspeaker every time back somebody's off. Walking around. Now, is it socially acceptable if you do go to a store to tell somebody to back off
yes.
if they're too close to
yes.
you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. What I do, I actually don't say it like that. I just say my son has asthma. I'm not backing off for me.
Sorry.
It's for, of course, I say it's for the children.
I play that Italian thing on my phone. I just turn around and play it for them. At schools, yeah, I'm backing the hell up, eh? I'm a call to the police, eh? That's amazing. Amazing stuff. 855-839-1210 is the number. I want to get your thoughts on how you're doing. How are you holding up? Are you ordering delivery and takeout? You should, because I think we got to help our small businesses, our restaurants and our pubs stay in business right now during this time. 855-839-1210 is the number. And I know, Greg, you told me to do something, I think.
Chestnut Hill College.
Chestnut Hill College. Yes, thank you. Chestnut Hill College is warning you right now about a lot of scams going on about coronavirus. People try to take your money, giving out fake cures, all kinds of other things. There's always going to be bad cyber actors out there, always. There's a lot of people even using ransomware right now during this because more people are likely to click on things to try to get answers.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, so the big updates are this. Last night, the president tweeted after the Senate failed to come up with a package. We have to evaluate after this 15-day period is over. We are on day number 8 right now as the president has deployed the National Guard to New York, California, and Washington for the purposes of building hospitals and helping them with everything that they need there. But we are in the middle of now this 15-day period where we were trying to limit the spread of the virus. The question is, what do we do after day 15? Do we do this for another 15 days? Do we do this for another 30 days? Do we do this for several months? Or do we say enough is enough? We're doing far more damage to our economy. What I'm telling you is that's the conversation that's beginning to play out now. People are starting to say, what about the devastation this could do to our economy, the long-term ramifications, and we really can't do this forever. Forget the inconvenience of having to be home with our kids. It's the inconvenience of watching everybody's life savings dry up and people lose their jobs and the absolute anguish and panic over that as well. So where all this goes, I don't know because nobody does. I'm just telling you the latest. The latest is after this 15-day period, so that we're on day number 8, so a week from now, we're going to be having the conversation about where we go from here. The problem is, as you heard with my guest a few minutes ago, and what you've heard from a lot of other people, is most people are going to get the coronavirus. The question is how severe they get the coronavirus. So the goal right now is to flatten the curve so that they're able to treat the people who need the treatment and they're not overwhelmed and running out of supplies, running out of ventilators and that sort of thing. But at the same time, recognizing that we're probably all going to get this thing because it's incredibly contagious and our immune system has no idea what to do with it yet. The good news is that at the same time I'm telling you that, there's a lot of people out there furiously working to try to find the right kinds of drug combinations to be able to fight this thing back, which is amazing. And that is great. That's the upside of this. The president pushed back against calls to nationalize industries. As we're seeing right now within our area, there's a shortage at hospitals of gloves and masks and other vital resources that they need. Some people have been screaming that the president should nationalize various industries. I don't know what that means, though, because the reality is the government doesn't make anything. The government doesn't make it, so they'd have to order the companies to make it. But guess what? The companies are doing this on their own. Over the weekend, GM announced that it was shifting gears to start working on providing hospital equipment instead of building cars. There are actually clothing companies now that have stopped making clothes and instead have started to make masks. Private sector stepping up in a big, big way. This is the president, cut 13B.
When it comes to the Defense Production Act, we know that governors across the country all day today were pleading with you to utilize the DPA, well, saying that they need it specifically for that allocation piece that you mentioned, Mr. Navarro.
Okay.
Why not use it now if that would answer their pleas for help?
Well, we are using it now. The fact that I signed it, it's in effect. But, you know, we're a country not based on nationalizing our business. Call a person over in Venezuela, ask them how did nationalization of their businesses work out? Not too well. The concept of nationalizing our business is not a good concept. But I'll tell you why. As Peter said, we may have to use it someplace along the chain, but we're getting calls. Here's the beauty of it. If we go out and we want, let's say, masks, we don't know who to call on masks. But Hanes, who makes things of cotton, various elements, lots of things, it's a great company, they called us and they said, we're going to make millions of masks. We got a call today from 3M. There's a big article today, the head of 3M. They're going to make tremendous products, and they're more or less in that business. And if they're not, like, for instance, General Motors spoke to us, Ford spoke to us about doing ventilators. The beauty is they're calling us. If you go the national route, nationalization route, we're going to tell a company to make a ventilator. They don't even know what a ventilator is. In the case of one company, they used to make them years ago, and they know how to make them. You know, it's a very complex piece of equipment, frankly. So what we're doing is, I think Peter said it maybe better than anybody's going to say it. We have the threat of doing it if we need it. We may have to use it somewhere along the supply chain in a minor way. But we have millions of masks being done. We have respirators. We have ventilators. We have a lot of things happening right now. So just the threat of using it. But using it's actually a big deal. I mean, when this was announced, it sent tremors through our business community and through our country. Because basically, what are you doing? You're talking about you're going to nationalize an industry, or you're going to nationalize. You're going to take away companies. You're going to tell companies what to do. The truth is, most people, nobody would know where to start. There are companies out there that you wouldn't think of that have called us that say, we can do ventilators. We used to do them years ago, and they can do them in large quantities. Other if I call companies and say, you build ventilators, they don't even know what a ventilator is.
Is that the private sector is stepping up here. Amazon has delayed their Prime delivery orders for about a month. So you try to go on there, most things now it says April 21st is the first delivery, because they're trying to get things using their supply chain to hospitals and that sort of thing. They're trying to do all these things. States are stepping up and they're suspending these certificate of need regulations, which are so incredibly pointless. Remember I said to you last week that in a pandemic, everybody's a libertarian. Everybody turns around and says, do we really need all this red tape, all this bureaucracy, all this BS? The answer is no. So my hope is that when this ends, we don't put all this stuff back in place. You know, we continue to enable the kind of innovation that we need at a moment's notice. But the president doesn't need to take over an industry. I mean, it doesn't even make logical sense. Think about it. What are you going to do? You're going to walk in here with a bunch of government bureaucrats and start making stuff on assembly lines? What the president is trying to do here is to push back the red tape that so often comes up in these situations. By implementing that, he's able to do that because we're just surrounded by red tape on the state and the federal level. All kinds of ridiculous things. You know, for example, and I know this from Jersey, if you want to do business with a hospital, you want to supply things to a town, you got to show your certificates, you got to show your insurance certificate, you paid your unemployment tax, you got to check this box and that box and this box and that box. They'll suspend all that right now so they can get what they need. But then the question becomes, do we put all those regulations back in place when this is over? I say no. Let's use this as an opportunity to say enough with this nonsense red tape. There's so much of it. Peter Navarro, who you've heard on the show several times, he deals with the trade stuff for the president. This is what he said yesterday regarding the private sector and their work here, what they're doing to fight this virus. Cut 14.
And the other is allocation of resources, both from the supply chain to the manufacturers and from the manufacturers to the end users, such as the healthcare professionals. Now, what we're seeing on a purely voluntary basis, based on the leadership of this administration, we're seeing the greatest mobilization of the industrial base since World War II. And every day I'm working with organizations and companies, National Association of Manufacturing, the National Council of Textile Organizations, and so on, in terms of building up rapidly our capabilities to get what you need.
Here is Dr. Deborah Birx discussing this as well, the private sector. And again, I'm pointing this out to you because there are a lot of great companies in our area, local and nationally, who are just doing remarkable work to try to meet the need here. And that's what's going to have to happen if this is going to continue. Cut 7.
In addition, just I think you know from the vice president, president, unlocking all of the construction worker masks were critical because there were 10 times more of them than there were the healthcare masks. So we went from 3 million to 35 million just with one manufacturer. And those should be arriving now in every single clinic because that was the legislation that allowed that liability to be removed so that we could all use the same masks.
So are the companies, Dr. Birx, doing this voluntarily or is the president directing them to do so?
What has been really remarkable to me is how much manufacturers and the American people have responded. So these are manufacturers coming to us and saying, well, first we went out to 3M, and I think it was really amazing that the vice president thought of going out there, because before we went to the 3M manufacturer, we didn't realize that 90% of our masks made in the United States were for construction workers. So immediately being able to see that and transform that into access for our healthcare workers were absolutely critical. And so we went from 3 million masks to almost 33 million masks overnight. And those are the masks that will be going out to a lot of the healthcare providers. But I think we're also looking to innovate on sites, as I talked about creating COVID wards. We're looking at options now. If we can get an option where people could self-test, then we could really eliminate the amount of personal protective devices need in the testing arena. So we're looking at all of these things to be both sparing of our current supplies as well as finding new innovations to expand our supplies.
Yeah, well said. 855-839-1210. Gary is in New Jersey. Gary, how are you holding up? How's your family holding up?
I'm doing fairly well. I'm basically, I guess you'd say, trying to learn Google Classroom and Google Apps so I can write my own lessons. Luckily, some lessons have been written for me.
For your kids. Are you homeschooling your kids right now?
Okay, I'm a teacher who's trying to teach kids by the internet using Google Classroom and Google
Apps.
Gotcha. And I'm also a nurse and a school counselor, and I have a couple of suggestions. One, educationally, we should continue a portion or 100% of what is going on right now in terms of kids staying at home. On the other hand, when it comes to the economics we've been talking about, we can have these kids come in on a cycle. I don't propose to know if it's a two-day cycle or a week cycle, then they stay home and the classrooms get totally clean and a new set of students come in. This would allow people that are maintaining the school and everything, all the ancillary personnel and everybody else that supplies, to continue to at least have some business and exist, like school lunch people, maintenance, you name it. But I really think that right now the Google Classroom phone calls, regular email, calling the kids is going to be working once the teachers get really good at it, and I'm hoping for that moment. But as a nurse standpoint, I think we need to go a quarter of the road or half the road, have these kids come back on a cycle.
Maybe let me ask you, I appreciate that point. Let me ask you the online teaching that you're doing. You said you're using Google Classroom. Is that something you'd recommend for parents who are trying to come up with lessons for their kids too?
Absolutely, because the parents can set up their own classrooms. And once they learn how to use the apps and download them, they should be very good. The system is a little bit more complicated than if you and I use the internet and we want to download a picture or something like that or a video to somebody else. We could do it very easily. But it's a whole big learning curve in terms of knowing how to do this with this program. But once you get to know it, which I haven't yet, it's going to be good because I've seen other teachers use it. So, yes, absolutely, the parents could use this at home. They could be their own teacher. They can set themselves up as a teacher. They can set their kid as a student and download lessons to that person. And using Google Apps, they got a lot of lessons on there.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate it, bud. They're very helpful. Thank you for that. 855-839-1210. Appreciate it very much. Lou is in Blackwood. Lou, how are you holding up during all this?
Rich, it's horrible, man. I've been listening to you guys for a long time when you were on at night and first met you guys over at the Holy Tomato. In fact, Dawn sat with my wife and I. I'm a self-employed entertainer. my demographic, my audience was over 50 years old. Everything on my schedule is completely wiped out. There's no recourse for me, no benefits. The stimulus package does not include self-employed people. And I'm not the only one, because I know a bunch of entertainers that are in the same boat as I am. So that's
what kind of what kind of entertainment do you do?
Big band, like Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Italian. I sing in Italian as well.
Can you come up with something where families that are bored can hire you to do like a FaceTime show? I'm serious.
Believe me, there are plenty of people doing that right now. DJs that I know are DJing on Facebook Live, but of course they're not doing it for any money.
No, you could charge.
My daughter's in private school. This is her senior year. It's probably canceled, but the bills still come in.
Sure. Yeah. No, I know.
I have no clue what I'm going
to
do.
I'm just wondering if there's a way you could offer that service to people and that you could entertain, you know, Sunday night during dinner or something. I don't know. They have all these different ways now. You could have multiple people at one time and almost do like a virtual concert or something
right.
like that. Is that something you could look into? Something you could consider?
Oh, I would do it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't, that would, it's not feasible with the amount of bills that I have.
Yeah, really, man, my heart breaks for you, brother. It does. Let me ask you this question then. To the president's point about we have to review all this because we don't want the cure to be worse than the problem. Is that how you're feeling about this? That the economy is getting so devastated here over this that we got to rethink this or what?
Of course. In 2 months, Verizon might want to shut my phone off. I wouldn't even be able to call you. My mortgage company wants their bill. The IRS is going to want their bill from my taxes. I had 2 great years the last 2 years. I mean, phenomenal years. Like I said, I got so many emails on the same day over a week ago canceling all of my performances. And I perform, you know, mostly all over the East Coast, but mainly in this tri-state area.
Well, hang in there, buddy. If anyone calls the show, we'll certainly hook them up with you and your information. We'll have Bill jot that down. You want to give us a shout out? You have a website or something? You want to tell everybody what it is?
I do. My website is theentertainer.org.
Theentertainer.org. All right, very good. Hang in there, my friend. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210.
Thanks.
You're welcome. This is the question right now that we're all dealing with. Obviously, we're all dealing with this. Roger's in Westchester. Roger, how are you and your family holding up during all this?
Hey, how are you doing there, Rich? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Rich, I'm hanging in there, man. I'm 66 years old. I live here in Westchester. It's you know, I mean, we have an old population here, but it's not real old. You know, I mean, there's mainly, you know, it's a Westchester college, and you have a lot of kids going to school here and stuff, and they shut the college down, and, you know, rightfully so. But I'm hanging in there. My family's doing all right. I appreciate you asking. But my main question, Rich, was maybe we should really reevaluate our trade policy with China. I mean, we get everything from these people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I just, you know, we get our medical supplies, our drugs are made, you know, our medicines, our pharmaceuticals, all that stuff's made there. And maybe it's time that, you know, we should just tighten the reins on them a little more. I mean, and a lot of it, Rich, is consumer driven. Like I was telling, you know, your the guy that takes the calls for you. I forget his name. Nice guy.
Bill, but that's millennial. That's our millennial Bill.
Oh, okay, Bill. The main thing is we as Americans, as American consumers, have to realize that, hey, maybe not going cheap is the best way anymore. I mean, you know, we like cheap goods, so we kind of fueled a lot of this, if you know what I'm saying. I'm not saying we created the virus.
Of course. Look, we all listen, I get it, brother. We all want to pay less, but we also have to realize now that there are life-saving drugs that are made in China, and if we need those drugs because there's an outbreak of some sort of biological weapon or illness, and China's not making them for us because they don't want us to be okay. That's a real national security
right.
issue right there. You know, that's a whole
Absolutely.
Lot more important than whether or not you got your crappy video game made in China. China, there are actual national security implications for our supply chain that have to be reevaluated after this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Roger, listen, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. It's an excellent, excellent point you make, and you have a great day. Hang in there. 855-839-1210. All right.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right. Before I get to news, I just want to mention to you that there's a fun thing you can do to, with your grandkids if you want to scare the crap out of them and terrorize them. You can do what Bernie Sanders did, which is pretend to be a zombie while playing with his grandchildren. Well, yeah, why not? Cut 16.
Are you a zombie?
I was woken up from a very deep sleep by some little kid who promised me a zillion, cadillion, a billion times.
Dollars. Promise me $1 billion.
What about a strange change in my DNA? Now I have
he does a little too well. Does he not do this a little too well, I think? Play a zombie?
He sounds like the Godfather, you know.
When he has the orange in his mouth?
Yes.
I'm coming to get you. This is Bernie Sanders, the zombie, Megaphone Bernie, zombie edition, terrorizing his grandkids.
I have become uncontrollably a monster.
That would be his inauguration address if he won. That's what he would say in January. I guess we can acknowledge now his campaign's over, that he's got time to play zombie games. Is that we can come to that grips?
Yes.
By the way, did you see that Andrew Cuomo, now there's a number of women who are coming out asking if he's single. Apparently they all have crushes on Andrew Cuomo. Did you hear this?
Yes, it's typical.
Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York now, the Love Gov, they're calling him now, the Love Gov. New York Post, New York women are coronavirus crushing on Andrew Cuomo and wondering if he's single. The new Love Gov. Denise Albert, a 45-year-old divorcee from the Upper West Side, is officially smitten. She said, for me, it wasn't when I heard him say, my mother is light. It was when I heard him say, my mother is light and joy. What also got me was his speaking about family dynamics, disagreeing with his brother about where his mom should be. It's relatable, vulnerable, inspirational. There's nothing hotter than vulnerability in a man.
he got a little verklempt when he was talking about some of that stuff, too. So he showed a little, the eyes filled up with tears.
Let's get the audio of that. We're going to need that for going forward. But for now, can we just play a little of the Love Gov of whatever we have from over the weekend, Greg?
The Love Gov.
It's going to go on for a period of time. This is not a short-term situation. This is not a long weekend.
I am not a one and done. Listen, I don't treat you like a fling. I want a long-term relationship.
This isn't a long weekend.
This is not a long weekend. This is much more like a marriage or a dating situation you will not be able to get out of.
This is not a long weekend. This is not a week.
But when I'm away from you, it feels like forever. That's what it feels like to me when I'm away from you. I can see that.
The timeline, nobody can tell you. It depends on how we handle it.
If I get bored of you, I get bored of you. I don't know. I can't predict the future. I don't know. I just don't know. There's a lot of interest in me all of a sudden now. I'm the Love Gov. I don't know.
But 40% up to 80% of the population will
wants
wind
to date
up getting
me. 80% of divorced women everywhere. Now, so he's getting a lot of attention. He's very smooth. Contrast that with the governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, who sounds like he's panicking every time he talks, like a frightened jackrabbit. Cut 12.
Now, even with this order in effect and in the main order, I call the stay-at-home order. I think that's the right way to think about this. Stay at home. Even with this order in effect, life in New Jersey does not have to come to a complete standstill.
New Jersey.
Residents can still take a walk or go for a run outside.
Oh, thank you.
We do want people to stay healthy, both physically and mentally. But, and this is a big but.
But.
If you do go outside for these activities, or head to the grocery store or to some other essential place. We urge everyone, we are not only urging it, we're ordering everyone to continue practicing social distancing.
New Jersey, you're ordered.
And to keep a safe six-foot distance
New Jersey. You're ordered.
Between you and others.
You got that, Dawn? You're
we
ordered.
We cannot have yes. what we've seen too often in other
All
states.
Right, thank you, New Jersey. Thank you, Governor. Thank you very much. So you got, this is going to go on for a long time. Ring me. I'll give you my digits. Or you got, New Jersey, don't go outside. If you do go outside, you're ordered. Just hereby social distance, New Jersey. Calm down. Everybody, panic. Anyway, all right. How are we looking today, Dawn? What's cooking?
Good morning. A lot going on. 39 degrees. The Yellow Show News sponsored by Mercedes Northeast Region. So as of this morning, COVID-19 spreading on the East Coast. New York has nearly half of the nation's cases and more than 15,000 of those cases in New York City, which is considered America's epicenter of the pandemic, with 10,000 cases, 10,000 and 100 deaths. So governors in New York, neighboring New Jersey, as well as Delaware, ordering residents stay at home unless it's essential. New Jersey has nearly 2,000 cases right now. So Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf considering a stay-at-home order, but is sticking by his order under the what he says is the disaster declaration law. So Wolf ordered more than 150 types of non-essential businesses to close their physical locations. Warning enforcement against those violators begins today, this morning, by state police. And Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney issuing a stay-at-home order for city residents. And that just began about 26 minutes ago, just started at 8 o'clock this morning. So those are some numbers. I didn't give you numbers all morning, but
so
I was
we're all trapped in our homes.
Yes, essentially. But I want to tell you some news, some interesting news tidbits and news you can use. So there may be a peculiar clue to coronavirus infection. We've been told a fever and hard cough are the most common symptoms, but doctors groups are recommending testing and isolation for people. If you lose your ability to smell or taste, even if you don't have any other symptoms, there's evidence growing from researchers around the world that a lost sense of smell or taste are peculiar telltale signs of COVID-19, which is the actual disease caused by coronavirus.
Interesting.
I thought that was fascinating. So they're saying, look, this is not a diagnosis, okay? But they're calling on adults. If you lose your sense of smell suddenly or your sense of, you know what I'm saying? Your sense
of
taste.
Yeah, no, it's very serious.
Yeah.
But I would also mention a lot of the food you're going to be eating the next couple of weeks has no taste. So just keep that in mind. When you're opening up a can of Dinty Moore beef stew, don't expect, you know what I mean?
Well, they started real. There was a mom in China. There were some moms and dads changing diapers, poopy diapers, and they couldn't smell a thing. Hmm. And they started telling the doctors this. So it began with parents changing diapers.
Did they smell their deep fried bat? Did they smell that?
That's a
sin. Or the deep fried little aardvark thing? What is it? The pangolins?
Pangolins.
Pangolins. Thank
yes.
you.
Never,
all right, so if you don't have taste or smell, yeah. call a doctor. All
yeah,
right.
it might be something there.
Might be something, or it might just be that you're eating processed canned food because it's day number 412 of the quarantine.
But if you're eating the bad food and then maybe somebody in the house has some gas problems and you can't smell it, that might be a
yes.
symptom. So I'm just
Good
saying.
Good point.
So the iconic cherry blossoms that draw obviously thousands of visitors to D.C. every spring reach peak bloom over the weekend, but officials urging social distancing, you know, just to curb the spread of coronavirus said, you know, we don't want everybody visiting. So First Lady Melania Trump, you know, I love her. She tweeted out, view the trees online, darlings. National Parks hashtag bloom cam. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
So that was a nice,
nice
little suggestion.
I'm glad we got that exclusive audio with her. Thank you for that.
And that brings us to Philadelphia Cherry Blossom Festival of Greater Philadelphia. Canceled, unfortunately.
When this is over, I will take you personally to see the cherry blossoms.
Yes, they'll be done by then. But the city, so our festival's canceled. Everybody's festivals are canceled. But also the city of Philadelphia prohibiting public gatherings for 30 days. It started March 13th. But the city of Philadelphia has closed MLK Drive to cars so that facilitates social distancing. So the stretch of road closed runs from East Falls Bridge to Aikens Oval. So you are encouraged to get out, go for a walk. You can look at the trees, the cherry blossoms if you want. Just stay 6 feet away.
You are ordered to stay 6 feet away, New Jersey.
So news you can use, specialty supermarket Trader Joe's starts offering service today, reserving the first hour of daily shopping to seniors from 9 o'clock this morning till 10 a.m. And Walgreens is doing senior hour only on Tuesdays, but it's they're going to give discounts as well as special hours from 8 to 9 a.m. That's Walgreens. We've been telling you, news you can use over the past week or so.
No, it's good. I'm glad you do that. It's very helpful.
So Acme, Target, Giant, all these others. You can look it up, the different hours in your community. I would just want to get to this day in history, March 20th.
This coffee has no taste. I think I have coronavirus.
Don't even say that.
Oh, no, it's just I'm using a Keurig.
That'll do it.
That'll do it.
Yeah, they'll definitely do it.
I miss those ground beans at the studio.
Yum, yum. This day in history, March 23rd, 1775, Patrick Henry gave his...
Give me liberty or give me death.
That's exclusive audio of Patrick Henry.
Boy, how much does that apply right now, huh?
Doesn't it?
New Jersey, go for a walk, but 6 feet, you're ordered, stay 6 feet away from each other, New Jersey. Hell, you think Patrick Henry would be saying right about now?
He might be saying, you know, give me liberty or give me death. I mean, that's what we're here. That's the debate that Zioli's pointing out, right? A lot of business people saying.
And the way that they order us around, you're ordered, you're hereby ordered. Who the hell made governors the ability to order us around like they're freaking parents? When did this happen, by the way? I missed the memo on that we elect them to be our you know, you're ordered 6 feet. What the hell is that?
The NBC 10 First Alert forecast, 47 raw and rainy today. Tomorrow, though, it's going to be sunny and beautiful. And then Wednesday, we're back to today. It's a repeat. Wednesday will be rainy.
All these women want to date me. I'm the love gov. None of them want to date my idiot brother. Can you blame them?
And this news sponsored
by... He gets my sloppy seconds.
No.
That's what he gets.
But he is married.
Who?
Yes, he's wearing
Which
a
one?
Wedding ring, isn't he? Isn't Cuomo married?
I think he's divorced. I think he's got a...
You're right.
He's got a long-term
Has he talked about
girlfriend.
The divorce.
Yeah.
That's right.
It was very difficult on me. But I'm glad it's over because I can't imagine being quarantined with her in that house.
Zioli Show News sponsored by Mercedes Northeast Region. Good things come to those who don't wait. With more affordable models than ever, spring event is the perfect time to consider that Mercedes-Benz you've been dreaming of. Go to mbusa.com/springevent to view all the inventory. Mercedes Northeast Region sponsoring Zioli Show News. We are live and we are local. And this is Zioli Show News, always on the radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. Great guest coming up. How your children can still learn character from our greatest heroes in the country. I'm going to talk to Ryan Mannion from the Travis Mannion Foundation about an excellent way for you to make sure during all of this, your kids are still getting the character building that they so desperately need for our nation. Straight ahead.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.